Your Bibles, please, to the book of John, chapter 5, John, the fifth chapter, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1120. We'll read responsively the first eight verses. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Once again, we'll read the verses responsively, and shall we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Let's pray. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for thy wondrous, blessed joy. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our preacher. Thank you for the men of this church. Thank you for the memory of our own fathers. Many of us now have daddies in heaven. We thank you for that memory of good men, both living and those who have served thee in times past, now with thee. Thank you for this service. We pray for thy power and thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
We take so many things for granted. Brother Wilbur, how old are you, Ed? How old are you? 61. And I was thinking his voice is just as clear as it was the first time I heard him sing. It's a miracle how God has preserved his voice. He still gets to travel across the country and sing. As he was singing, went up on that high note. It's amazing how just as clear as it was that first time 31 years ago when I heard him sing here in this church. I want to speak this morning on a very tender little subject to me. I almost had a spell on the airplane the other day when I came across this. It's not one of those bombastic messages. It's a very precious message to me. When I was on the airplane, it dawned on me, and I got my concordance out. I found something so sweet. And by the time I got to the airport, I was just about to explode. I really was. I want to talk this morning on the subject, and where was Jesus? And where was Jesus? I also want to button my clothes first before I do. But where was Jesus? I want to say this before I pray. I was amazed when I found the Gospel of John. 15 times our Lord makes mention to a feast, usually in Jerusalem. I'm talking about the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of the Tabernacles, one of the great feast religious gatherings. Now, you have to understand that these feasts were more than just services. You folks who didn't grow up, you're younger, you didn't grow up in the old days of the, we used to call them down south, the protracted meetings. Once every year out in the country, every country church would have what they call a protracted meeting. You might want to call them revival meetings, but they'd last for 2 or 3 weeks. And everybody, we saved up everybody who's going to get saved for those 2 or 3 weeks. If you wanted to get saved, you had to wait till August. I mean, that's all there was to it. But, nobody cared anything about sinners 51 weeks or 52 weeks out of the year. But during those weeks of protracted meeting, everybody got concerned about sinners. And those old protracted meetings were more than just revival meetings. They were family reunions. They were vacation time. They were a big deal. But even more than that were the feast of the Old Testament that were conducted until Jesus died on the cross. These feasts of the Passover and Feast of Tabernacles and so forth, Feast of the Trumpets, these were feasts that were a combination of our Super Bowl, World's Fair, Disneyland, Disney World, Knott's Berry Farm, and World Series all put together. They were not only family reunions, they were national reunions because everybody descended on Jerusalem, and it was something real, real big. Now, I noticed that in the Gospel of Matthew, now if I'm wrong on this, don't hold me to it, but I could not find one reference in the Gospel of Matthew to one of these feasts. I could not find one reference in the Gospel of Mark to one of these feasts. I could not find one reference in the Gospel of Luke to one of these feasts. But tender, loving John 15 times mentions these feasts. And every time he mentions these feasts, they're mentioned in relation to something that Jesus was doing. Jesus went up to the feast, and this and this, thus and so happened. I want to talk to you for a while on the subject, and where was Jesus? And I want you to listen to me on purpose this morning. This is not one of those sermons about which you're going to say, it's the greatest sermon I ever heard. But it is a sermon, if you listen to it, where you'll say, what a wonderful Savior we have. You know, I was thinking a while ago, I've always in my life been on the outside looking in. I don't know why, it just worked out that way. I've always had to swim upstream. I was reared a poor boy. I never could afford the things other folks afforded. And now in my preaching life, I've never been able to stay in any kind of a group. They don't want me to stay. And I'm not willing to stay in a group as it changes and decays. And I've always been on the outside looking in. And that's sort of what the Savior was. I'm not saying I'm like Jesus, except in that one aspect. But I want to talk to you for a while. Sweet little truth that just warmed my heart very much on the airplane. And where was Jesus? Father, bless our sermon this morning. I want to be a help to my people. There are times I want to scold and scathe and scald because I feel the people need to be rebuked. There are times I want to instruct and teach because I feel we need to eat the meat of the Word of God. Then there are times I want to be tender and loving, and that's what I want to be this morning, as I tell something wonderfully sweet about our blessed Savior. So bless us as we think of Him for a while. In Jesus' name, amen. A feast was going on in Jerusalem in John chapter 5. It was a major feast. And the people were gathered and they were fellowshipping and they were enjoying each other and they were making new acquaintances and renewing old acquaintances and they were having a wonderful time. But while this feast was going on, our Savior went up to it. But where was Jesus? And where was Jesus? If you will check very carefully, you will find while this feast was going on, and others were laughing and partying and having a great time at this feast time, Jesus was just a few blocks away at what was called the Pool of Bethesda. He was there with a man who had for 38 long years had been crippled. And that man, Jesus said, wilt thou be healed? And the fellow said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. You know why? Because the word had it that an angel came down and troubled the waters of that pool. And I can see that pool right now. I've been there twice. And in fact, I put some of the water on my head, but didn't do a bit of good. But Rick was going to pray this morning, and I asked him what he was going to pray. And somebody says he's going to pray for God to give him hair. I said, if that prayer is answered, I want a copy of that prayer, please. But I can see that pool, and there was Jesus. And with whom was Jesus? With a priest at the temple? No. Was he with the great crowd of people at the reunion? No. Was he at the Super Bowl of the day? No. Was he excited about all the activities going on at the feast? No. You find him down in the Pool of Bethesda, not very far away, just a few hundred yards away, a few blocks away, city blocks away. From where the feast was, the temple site, is that Pool of Bethesda, and he was beside that man, and Jesus healed the man. That's where he was. You know where the Savior is this morning? The Savior this morning is with all of us, but he's just with that one especially who has special need. That's where Jesus was while the feast was going on. It was noontime in Sychar in John chapter 4. The disciples were hungry, and they went down to McDonald's to get a cheese quarter pounder. And only had made about 50,000 back in those days.
and get some French fries and a chocolate milkshake. And they were hungry. Been traveling now. They were going to Judea, to Samaria, and they went to Galilee and went through Samaria. And they were going to get a bite to eat. And they were having a big time as they were eating kosher Big Macs and kosher cheese quarter pounders. They were having a big time. And while they were having that big time, and where was Jesus? He was with that fallen woman of Sychar. And he said, give me a drink. And she said, you being a Jew, ask the Samaritan, me a Samaritan, for a drink of water. And Jesus said, she said, we worship in Mount Gerizim, and you worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said, all they that worship him in his spirit and truth. And Jesus said, by the way, I'm in the water business myself. Oh, she said, you're in the water business? Yeah. But he said, the water that I have, you take one drink of it. You call Culligan under water in the, and Jesus said, the water that I have, you take one drink of that water and you'll never get thirsty again. Oh, the woman said, that sure beats what I'm having to do. I'm having to trot down here and get a bottle of water and put it on my head. And women always did that in those days. That's how women got flat-headed. And they had to do that. And she said, I take the water back and I need some more water. And I come here to the well again and fill my jar of bottle of water and the bottle made of skins and put it on top of my head. She said, if I can have one drink of water, never get thirsty again. She said, I'd like to have that water. And Jesus said, I'll give it to you. I am that living water. And she came to drink of the living water that day. And her sins were forgiven. And by the way, once you take one drink, you'll never be lost again. You'll never again know what it's like not to know you're going to heaven when you die. And she took one drink. And she ran into town. And she said, hey, come see a man that told me all things I ever did. Dr. Rice used to say, she exaggerated some. Because he didn't tell her all she'd ever done. But she is a woman. You can understand that. And but where was Jesus when the feast was going on? He was with the poor fallen man, been crippled for 38 years. Where was Jesus when the fellows were hungry and eating and he wanted to eat? Where was he? He was that woman at Sychar, a fallen woman there at Sychar as well. I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad that Jesus this morning is with that fallen woman here. Ah, you say, Brother Hiles, I've sinned. A little lady said to me this week, she said, Brother Hiles, I'm so ashamed. She said, since January, she said, I've committed adultery. And she said, I'm so ashamed. Let me tell you, little lady, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's with you this morning. He leaves the pure woman and goes to the fallen woman and says, I want to forgive your sin. That's where Jesus is. Then, in John chapter 6, another big feast of the Jews is being held. And Jesus was there. But what happened while the feast is going on? Where was Jesus? Well, he had the disciples that had gotten out on the sea there and had gotten in a storm. And Jesus came walking on the water. He got in the boat and he calmed the storm. And where is Jesus this morning? Is he in the big Southern Baptist Convention meeting? Is he there? No, no, no. Is he in the big World Council of the Churches meeting? No, he's not there. Is he in the big religious assemblies today? No, he's not there. Where is Jesus? He's with those who have storms in your life. He's with the fallen woman at Sychar. He's with the man who's crippled beside the pool of Bethesda. That's where Jesus is. Then in John chapter 7 and John chapter 8, another feast was going on. And during that feast, they were having a wonderful time, and you can see the mixing and the mingling. This is sort of the nearest thing I can explain to you. Any folks ever grow up way out in the country back yonder a few years ago? Way out in the country. All right. What'd you do on Saturday night? I don't know if it's that way for you, but down in Texas, I used to go visit Uncle Roy down in the country all summer long. And on Saturday night, everybody went to town. I mean, little town of 1,000 people, but it had 10,000 folks on Saturday night. And that one little old street, about 3 blocks long, people were just there by the thousands. And you talk about hot dogs and hamburgers and seeing folks you hadn't seen since last week because you've been out there picking cotton all week long. A bunch of cotton pickers and out there all week long. And you came to town. And there's nothing like it. Here's a little place right here where they served ice cream sticks and ice cream cones. And here's a hot dog place. And over here's a hamburger place and hear people out in the middle of the street and going up and down. All you did, walk up this side, down this side, walk up this side, and down this side. And that's sort of what these feasts were like. These rural people had been out in the Judean hills on the Judean farms, and now they all come in. And in the 7th chapter of John and the 8th chapter of John, you have this feast. But where was Jesus? They brought to him a woman taken in adultery. This woman was caught in adultery. Stoned to death. The Lord Jesus looked and said, "The one without sin, cast the first stone." And everybody was silent. And Jesus wrote on the ground, and he said to this fallen woman, "Go and sin no more." Thank God for Jesus. Thank God. I said a while ago, I've always sort of been the outcast, but Jesus was always at our house. We lived in the shack out at the edge of town, but Jesus was always there. And thank God that in the midst of the feast, in John chapter 5, where was he? He was a few blocks away at the Pool of Bethesda with a crippled man. And when the fellows were downtown eating, where was he? He was at Sychar's well with a fallen woman. And the feast in John chapter 6, where was he? He was out on a boat calming the storm and stilling the waves. And in John chapter 7 and 8, where was he? In the feast, he was out yonder with a fallen woman caught in the very act of adultery. Oh, let me tell you this morning, I don't care what you've done, God loves you and God wants you. And the blessed Savior walks up and down these aisles this morning. And he stops at those who are well and doing well. But doesn't stop long there. He stops over here at the people who are in the Pathfinders and say, "I love you in a special way today." He comes to the rescue mission men up here. "I love you in a special way today," he says. He comes to the deaf people back here. "I love you in a special way." Three cheers for Jesus. Hallelujah for Jesus. That's where he was. I come on to John chapter 11. And Jesus went to a feast in Jerusalem. And the feast was going on, as I said a while ago, a combination of the Super Bowl and the World Series and Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm and Disney World and the county fair. All the people having a big time. I think Jesus would love to have had a big time. I think he would. I think he would have enjoyed getting to go to the feast. But where was he? He was on the other side of the Mount of Olives, about 10 miles south of Jerusalem, or east of Jerusalem. Where was he? He was in the home of a little lady named Mary and her sister named Martha. Why? Word had come to him that their brother had died and the Savior came to comfort him. Let me tell you this morning, if you have a broken heart, Jesus will leave the feast to come to your house just to calm he mend your broken heart. If this morning you are lonely and sad, and Jesus will leave the feast and he comes to you, he'd leave a service like this to go to some fellow walking down the sidewalk out there that was in need. Jesus was with Mary and Martha. It was on Calvary. This is Calvary. Calvary. This is what it's all about. This is Calvary. The streams of history all pour into Calvary. And the rivers of prophecy all originate at Calvary. This is Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died. At Calvary, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And this is Calvary. And Jesus is there. God becoming flesh. This is what it's all about. This is man's hope. This is what every little lamb that died in the Old Testament pointed to. This is what every turtle dove pointed to that offered as a sacrifice in the Old Testament. Every time the priest walked down with his royal garments, it pointed to Calvary. This is Calvary. And where was Jesus? He was forgiving the people that had put nails in his hands. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He was saying, "Father, forgive the one in 1990 in Hammond, Indiana, who's living a life of sin. They don't know what to do. Forgive them." And hallelujah, I've got good news for you. He'll forgive every sinner this morning who'll come to the foot of the cross and look up to Calvary and say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner and I know it." And the blessed Savior's concerned about you this morning. This is Calvary. This is the cross. This is where propitiation and justification are fulfilled. This is where truth and mercy have kissed each other. This is where righteousness and peace have met and joined hands together. This is Calvary. Shh. Listen. His mouth is opening. I wonder what he's going to say. Is he going to give us some doctrinal truth about propitiation? Is he going to speak something to us about justification? Shh! His mouth is opening. He's speaking. Mama, Mama, John's going to take care of you. John, take care of Mama. Even on the cross. The highest hour in history. The highest peak of prophecy. Jesus becoming sin, paying our price. He's concerned about a hungry mama. Take care of Mama. Listen to him. His mouth opens again. This is Calvary. This is Calvary. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden in my heart rolled away. I've been to Calvary on two trips. I went there more than one time when we were in Jerusalem. I'd go to Calvary every day I was there. We'd tour someplace over here, but I'd always go to Calvary every day I was there. But the first time I was ever at Calvary, I was across the street a little bit from that little hill, Golgotha. It looks like a man's face there. It's called the Place of a Skull. And I was on a tour with Bob Jones University. And everybody had left. I did not know it. And I was looking at Calvary. And Dr. Bob Jones came back and he said, "Brother Hiles, the bus is full and you got to leave." I said, "I can't go yet. I can't go yet." He said, "Brother Hiles, we got to go. Dr. Hiles, we got to go." I said, "Go ahead. I can't go yet." And I looked up at Calvary. What did Jesus say? The first three things he said. First, he said, "Father, forgive them." That's what he was doing on Calvary. And then he said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Saving a dirty old crook. I mean, the Father had turned his back upon him and Jesus was suffering to hell for everybody. But he was saving a dirty old crooked thief on the cross. Oh, he loves you this morning. He loves you. Oh, but you say, "Preacher, I'm so wicked, I don't deserve to come in this room." Yes, you do. Nobody deserves to come in this room. But Jesus walks to you this morning and says, "I love you, and I want to forgive you, and I want to save you. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, let us reason together. Though you've murdered somebody, it shall be as white as snow. Come now, let us reason together. Though you've lived in harlotry as a prostitute, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come now, let us reason together. Though you've walked down every gutter in America trying to find a little bottle left, or a little liquor left in the bottle, in the bottom of the bottle. Though your sins be as scarlet as liquor, they shall be as white as snow. Come now, let us reason together. Though your arms look like pin cushions from the needle of dope, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as dope, they shall be as white as snow." Every one of you this morning in this room will walk down this aisle and say, "Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and trust you as my hope for heaven. I don't care what you've done." You'll walk back down that aisle cleansed with the blood of Christ, as perfect and sinless as Jesus is. It was resurrection time. The entire city was astir. Can you imagine what would have happened in Hammond if somebody was buried 3 days ago and all of a sudden their grave is empty and they've risen from the dead? Can you imagine? And the whole city was astir. Jesus had risen up from the grave. He arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today. This is the resurrection time. And the whole city was astir. He was buried. He's gone. Where is his body? He's risen from the dead. And where was Jesus? He wasn't even in town. He was walking beside some discouraged disciples on the road to Emmaus, trying to cheer their spirits and lift their spirits. You listen to me. I wept a few tears in my time. I spent a few lonely hours in my time. But I've never been anywhere, no matter where it was. But what if I looked up, I found Him there? Yes, Jesus loves you. Where was Jesus? The city was astir with the talk of the empty tomb. People were saying soldiers had taken and stolen His body. And yet there was no proof for it. The grave was empty. The one that crucified 72 hours ago. But now the grave is empty and He's risen from the dead. He's the talk of the town. Where's Jesus? With Mary Magdalene? You know, he appeared to three people on the first day three times. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, that fallen woman. He appeared to Peter, who was a backslider. And it said, and just a few hours before, been cussing and swearing and denying the Lord Jesus, he comes to those this morning who need it the most. There was a big parade through Jericho. Jesus was going to Calvary. People lined the streets on either side as Jesus was making his last journey through Judea, up toward the city of Jerusalem to be crucified. And he was a famous person that had been noised abroad. He'd healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out devils and caused blind eyes to see and deaf ears to hear and the dumb to speak and the crippled to leap like a hart. And they lined the streets of Jericho to see him. Where was Jesus? He was eating with a crooked tax collector and saving his soul. Thank God he loves people like you and me. Where was Jesus? He was over here with a blind man, healing blind Bartimaeus' eyes. Where is he today? Jesus comes this morning and sits beside that happily married woman. But in a very special way, he comes and sits beside that woman whose husband has left her. I say it so often, but that army of ladies break my heart. Those little women, little ladies come to me, look like they don't weigh 100 pounds, frail and weak. A little child in an arm, a little child was standing beside her pulling on mama's skirt. And some dirty, sorry reprobate has run off with a whore. Hadn't got enough decency to support his own children. And I stand there and look at her, and she's got her life to spend by herself. Where's Jesus this morning? He's sitting beside that little woman. Jesus today comes and is with that child who has a happy home. I'll tell you something else in a special way. He's that child that has a broken home. I know what it's like to get to see Daddy about 30 minutes a week. I know what it's like on Father's Day to have a drunkard daddy who doesn't even know whether I exist or not. Let me tell you, little boys and girls, those of you that ride the buses and live in the ghettos and don't have a daddy, I'll guarantee you God loves you in a very special way today. Jesus today is in the nice neighborhoods with yards and fences and maybe a swimming pool in the backyard and flowers and shrubbery. He's there today, but in a special way, he's in those poor neighborhoods where hunger is prevalent and loneliness is the commonplace, the common thing. Jesus this morning is with that popular person, but in a special way, he's with the outcast. Jesus this morning is with the hearing, but in a special way, he's with the deaf. Jesus this morning is with the healthy, but in a special way, he's with the sick. Jesus this morning is with the spiritual Christian, but in an extra special way, he's with the backslider this morning. Jesus this morning is with the cancer patient and the senior citizen in a rest home. I did not get out of bed this morning with what I thought about those fathers in rest homes today. Let me tell you something this morning. There's a wonderful way that God compensates for whatever loss that you have in your life. Years ago, Mama lived in Texas. We're talking about 25, 30 years ago. Mama lived in Texas. She and Erlene lived together down there. And my mother came for a visit up here. And one afternoon I said, Mama, go soul winning with me. Mother must have been 75 at the time, maybe 70. And she went soul winning with me. And we spent all afternoon out soul winning. We went out to Highland and we won a little later to Christ. His name was Allmiller, Mrs. Allmiller. Mother and I won Mrs. Allmiller to Jesus that afternoon. And then went out here to the Columbia Center and walked into a very poor place. And there was a little girl back in the back, about 7, 8 years old, maybe older, and she was afflicted, and she was doing like that, and she was trying to talk like that. And we walked back, and the little lady, a very poor lady in the Columbia Center, she showed us her daughter, and she said, "My daughter can't walk or talk." And my mother looked at her and said, "I know how you feel." She said, "I had a little girl that never walked or talked, and she lived to be 7, and she was a spastic child. And I sat beside her. I know how you feel. I've been there." And the lady said, "Mrs. Hiles, you mean that you live like I live?" And she said, "Yes." And mother said, "Yes. And our place we live was not as nice as the one you have here in Columbia Center either." And she said, "I never dreamed." And I got to win that little lady. I got to take the fish off the hook. Mama got her saved, really. And she was happily saved. And by the way, the best of my knowledge still comes to this church after all these years. And we went from there over to Indiana Harbor. We wanted to go sightseeing for a while. And went over Indiana Harbor, the Honolulu of the Midwest. And we went over there. And we couldn't find the house. We had a number, couldn't find the house. But we found the number. The number was a tavern. And I said, "Mama," I said, "that must be it." Mama said, "Son, you can't go in there." Well, I hollered in there and I said, "I'm looking for Mrs. Rodriguez." And the fellow said, "She's around the back." And my mother and I walked around the back. My aged mother and I walked around the back. Knocked on the door, and an humble little lady named Mrs. Rodriguez came to the door. And I said, "Mrs. Rodriguez, we've come to tell you about the Savior." And she was so happily saved. And by the way, she went to heaven a few years ago. And every Christmas, her son gives a gift to this church in memory of his mother, has for all these years now. But don't forget it, because after she got saved, she said she'd come to church. She did. She got baptized. But before I left, she said, "Father, would you bless me?" Well, I didn't want to discourage her, and I didn't know how to bless her, so I just guessed at it. I walked over. I'd never done this in my life before. I put my hand on her head, and I said, "Oh, God, bless her." I started to walk away. "Father, would you bless me again?" I blessed her again. "Anybody wants a blessing, see me after service. $5 a throw, and I'll 2 for $7.50. But I blessed her, and we walked out to the car, and Mother said, "Son," she said, "I can't get my mind off that little lady in Columbia Center with the afflicted daughter." And she said, "I can't get my mind off Mrs. Rodriguez." And my little mother said something to me so sweetly. She said, "Son, I really believe if the Master lived in Hammond, he would have been where we were today." He's where you are if your heart is lonely. He's especially with you. If you have a grief, He's especially with you. If you've laid to rest the one that's nearest to you, He's especially with you. Years ago, this is an old story that I've told often, but Dr. Rice and I were preaching in Milford, Ohio, outside Cincinnati. We preached on Monday night, had a wonderful service, and Tuesday morning, he preached, then I preached, and we signed Bibles and shook hands and fellowship for a while, and it's time to go out to eat with the pastor and his staff. The pastor said, "Dr. Rice, you and Dr. Hiles get in the car." But I couldn't find Dr. Rice. And I said, "Where's Dr. Rice?" "Pastor, I don't know. I thought he was with you." I thought he was with you. Couldn't find him. We searched the church. Couldn't find Dr. Rice. We went around behind the church. Couldn't find Dr. Rice. We checked every car in the whole parking lot. Couldn't find Dr. Rice. We must have looked for 15, 20 minutes and couldn't find Dr. Rice. And somebody said, "There he is!" Dr. John R. Rice, the 20th century's mightiest pen, probably the best known Christian in the world at that time. Dr. John Rice was down about 2 blocks, down the block, on a sidewalk playing hopscotch with some poor little boys. That's the Savior. The feast! And where was Jesus? With the crippled fella at the pool of Bethesda. The mighty feast! Where was Jesus? He was with a fallen woman caught in adultery. Forgiving her sin, saving her soul. Calvary, where was Jesus? Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. Resurrected Christ, city all-star, where was Jesus? With some discouraged fellas. With a woman of Mary Magdalene, the woman formerly possessed with 7 devils, who had no husband, who had no mother and father. Jesus was all she had. Where was Jesus? He was with Peter, who was a backslider. The one disciple who cursed and swore, denied the Lord. Wonderful thing happened to me, and I'll close with this.
very sweet thing happened to me this week, and it may not seem like much to you, but it illustrates what I'm saying. This may shock you, but I had to read the entire Gospel of John just to get this sermon this morning. I don't think you appreciate it enough. But anyway, I spent hours just reading the Gospel of John, looking for the word feast to see what happened at every feast and so forth. And I was on the airplane. I flew out to preach at a commencement in Los Angeles on Thursday night and flew right back. And I was on the airplane. I was reading the Gospel of John and reading all these verses and thinking of this story. And I remembered that on Wednesday night, Brother Colston had told me that he was having a party with his class. A class mostly of, I'd say, when you say senior citizen, mostly in your class. Approaching that, you dirty coward, you. One thing I hate a tactful fellow when I'm a bunglesome idiot. But anyway, these folks approaching, Brother John told me about the party they were having, and I was on the airplane, and I got feeling. I had a little party of my own. I hate to admit it, but I had a little pity party. And I said, I'd like to be at that party. I compared myself a little bit to Jesus. I don't get to go to parties. I'm always busy counseling with somebody in trouble, trying to help somebody. I mean, I'm not a great saint. I've just got to. You'll get mad at me if I don't. And I had a little pity party. And I thought, I wish I could go. And I felt a little sorry for myself. I got back about to the airport about 3 o'clock, 3:15. Brother Larry met me at the airport, drove me back. Traffic was horrible. I got back at 1 minute past 5. My appointment started at 5. I was 1 minute late, my first appointment. And I had appointments all night long till 10 o'clock. And I kept thinking about, I wish I was at that party. Somebody knocked on the door, like a bunch of kids. I said, that's a bunch of teenagers. Kept knocking on the door like that. And all of a sudden they started singing, I think we love you, preacher. Oh, yes, we do, or something like that. And I said, must be the high school girls. Maybe it's some of the college girls or high school young people. And I went to the door, and my heart was warm like it's been warmed a few times in my ministry. There was Brother Colston's class outside my door. They were singing that they loved me. They knew I couldn't go to the party. I had 15 people or so I had to see. I had folks that had needs. I had to see them. And as they left, and as I drove home, I thank God. The Savior this morning didn't get to go to the party. He didn't get to sit around the table at the feast. He didn't get to fellowship with his relatives. He was always busy. Always busy. A fallen woman over here. A woman caught in adultery over here. A fellow been crippled 38 years over here. A boat, fellows in a boat in a storm over here. A dying thief over here. Wicked sinners out here. A mama who needs feeding over here. Discouraged disciples on the road to Emmaus. Mary Magdalene, who had no family but Jesus. Peter, the one disciple who was backslidden at the time and cursed and denied him. He loves you this morning. Oh, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. A little illustration, I close. I've used it so often. Dr. Rice was a young preacher. Just 35, I guess. Maybe younger. Dr. Rice heard, he was pastoring in Dallas, a little church out in the Oak Cliff section of Dallas. He heard that the great Gypsy Smith was coming to the First Baptist Church. He heard that on Sunday afternoon, the great Gypsy Smith was going to have a service in that big First Baptist Church of Dallas auditorium, nearly as big as this building. And Dr. Rice said, I want to go hear Gypsy Smith, one of the most famous preachers of his day. And the young preacher, Dr. John Rice, just a young kid of a preacher, he went down there and sat on the front and looked up and heard the great Gypsy Smith, and his hero worship was obvious. And Dr. John Rice, the little young preacher, hearing that great Gypsy Smith preach, he preached on soul winning. Dr. Rice got so burdened about soul winning, he said, "When I get out of this place, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to run outside the door, and the first person I see, I'm going to tell him about Jesus and try to get him saved." Dr. Rice did that. As soon as the service ended, Dr. Rice ran outside, and I can see it now because I've been in that First Baptist Church, Dallas, hundreds of times. He rushed out there on North Irby Street and rushed down to the corner and down the little side street. And he saw, first person he saw was a cab driver standing beside a cab. And Dr. Rice walked up and said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Are you a Christian?" The cab driver began to cry and said, "Yes, yes, I'm a Christian." And Dr. Rice said, "Wonderful. How long have you been a Christian?" He said, "Just a few minutes." He said, "Is that right?" Said, "Who won you to Christ?" The cab driver said, "I don't know his name. He was a gypsy fellow that came out of the speaker's door and just told me how to be saved." While the people were fellowshipping inside the great First Baptist Church, Gypsy Smith was out there with the sinner. And that's where Jesus is this morning. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. A great philosopher was asked one day, "What's the greatest philosophy you've ever heard in your life? What's the greatest theology you ever heard in your life?" He began to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong." Sing it. "Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me." And the plane landed. And I got off the plane. And the folks greeted me at the airport. And I said, "I've got to go to the washroom a minute." Except I didn't have to go to the washroom. I had to go shout. Because I'd been through the Gospel of John and found that every time there was a great feast, Jesus was somebody who was heartbroken or lonely or sad or backslidden or sinful. Our Heavenly Father.